Hi, everybody. Thanks, as always, for coming back to listen to another story. Well, this is my second story this week. My requests list is kind of building up, so I'm going to try and get a few more out soon. I know I've been incredibly slack. I'm sorry. I could put forth a lot of excuses, but generally I just haven't gotten around to them. Anyway, despite the fact that I haven't put out many new stories, I have still been getting lots of really wonderful emails from you guys, which means a lot. Thank you very much. I hope you've all been well since we last spoke. I have. I've been having a great time. Which actually brings me on to something. I am not supposed to mention this directly in these recordings, so I won't. but if you check out my profile, you will find mention of what I've been working on. So, yeah, that's all I'm going to say. I hope that people don't mind me saying that. Confused much? Go check it out. It'll make sense. Anyway, about this story. This is the first story I've ever done that's a sequel to one of my previous stories. So I hope you like that. I hope I can pull it off. The story I'm doing the sequel to is The Train, the one about the spy. So I hope you all enjoy this. This is for Debbie. Debbie, I hope you enjoy this. She's a great friend and has written to me a lot and been a source of some considerable inspiration. So I hope I managed to capture what you were looking for in this story. And everybody else, I really hope you guys enjoy this as well. Let me know what you think, and if sequels seem to be the thing, I might be able to do some sequels to some of my other stories. I don't know what other ones would really work, but we can always find out. Well, let's get on with the story then. I slowly and groggily awaken. The first thing that my brain registers is a very dull, very pounding pain in the back of my head. And then, slowly, as the rest of my body regains consciousness, I feel the cold stone below my body, the bruises on various parts of my arms and legs, and the awful smell. I gently open my eyes, look around. The light is all but gone. I can tell I must be in some form of cell. All I remember is hearing someone at the door and knowing I'd been set up. The door was broken down. All I saw was bright searchlights and shouting, and then there was a sharp blow to my head. And not knowing how long it's been, I find myself lying here. You know, they teach us to prepare for these sorts of situations, how to deal with it mentally and physically. We know that every day in this kind of game could be your last, but nothing ever really prepares you for that feeling. I'm fully aware that I will most likely be killed unless I can facilitate some form of escape. And before I am, there's a good chance I'll be tortured for information as well. How long it's been since I've been captured, or if anybody knows I've been captured, is definitely a question on my mind. But even if the organization I work for does know I've been captured, there is very little they could, or in fact would, do. Such is the stakes of this game. As I lie here, I hear footsteps in what I assume is a corridor outside my cell. And I realize my arms and feet are neither tied, so I raise raise myself to a sitting position with my back to the wall and try to take stock of my surroundings. I hear keys rattling in the lock of my cell door, and it creaks open, and in walk three people, as best I can make out. A light is shone on me, and that's all I can see. I hear a thick Eastern European accent tell me not to move, and I hear the cocking of at least two rifles. So I remain motionless, and then I hear another voice. A voice all too familiar. In my somewhat still groggy state, it takes me a moment to place this voice, and then it all comes back. It's your voice. You from the train. It was nearly 2 years ago we had that encounter. I haven't heard from you or seen you since. Yet there it is, your voice. You asked me what I was doing there. What I know. Why was I sent? And many other questions related to my mission. All of which I am fully aware I can't answer, some of which I don't know, most of which I simply won't answer. Surprisingly then, your tone changes slightly. You tell the guards to leave. They lock the door behind them. And I hear their footsteps receding down the hall. You walk over to where I am, and my eyes have now become a bit accustomed to the very dim light. And I can see it certainly is you. I never really did get a very good look at your face. But from what I remember, and my memory through many hours of training serves me well. You are as beautiful as I remember. Why you work for these people, I don't know, but I suspect I'll never get the chance to find out. Take me by the arm and pull me to my feet. Shakily I stand. And in a very sure of yourself and in somewhat insulting manner, you lean down and whisper in my ear, "You will tell me everything you know." Well, that's your opinion. You push me towards the door. Having your own set of keys, you open it. I realize I could try and escape now, but having no idea where I am or who else is in this building, and knowing I would surely be shot on sight, should I try to simply do a bit of recon work and figure out how to get out of this before you figure out how to get out of me what I know. All my weapons are obviously gone, but I'm still wearing the clothing I was when I was captured. You march me down the corridor, lit by small flickering lights on either side, and into a room much more brightly lit. It's not an entirely scary looking room, not like you would expect a torture room or a possible interrogation room to look, but nonetheless there is a table, a couple of chairs, and a couple of one-way glass windows. Well, I assume they're one-way glass, otherwise they are large, pointless mirrors. You sit me down at the chair. And tie my hands behind my back to the chair. I don't resist. I'm still fairly weak. And I realize that merely the raising of your voice will have many, many very angry armed guards rushing this room, so I need to bide my time. You then sit on my lap. Reach behind your leg, and I hear a knife being unsheathed, and you place the blade against my chest. And with a movement so quick it causes me to wince, you cut my shirt and jacket open. And then you reach around and cut it down the back as well, so it falls off my arms and shoulders. I'm unharmed, but a little shocked. And then, still straddling me, you lean in. And I expect another taunting remark, but instead, you bring your lips to my neck and kiss me. I've heard of this. I've heard of female agents and operatives using sex as a means to weaken, confuse, or in any other way bring down the defenses of agents, male agents especially. I never put too much faith in it. I assumed I had too much self-control. I wouldn't ever succumb to this kind of thing, but hearing about it and being in the situation yourself certainly doesn't prepare the mind for what it actually is like. As I look back at you, your face remains almost expressionless. As you reach down, undoing my belt and ripping off my pants. I'm wearing just underwear now, and you are still fully clothed in your black combat cargo pants, sidearm on a tactical holster on your thigh, tight black t-shirt and long auburn hair in a ponytail. Not exactly the kind of agent you would expect to find working in an organization like this, but I guess it takes all types. Still not having said anything, you once again straddle me and sit on my lap, one hand reaching down and taking my cock and my balls in your hand through my boxes and slowly massaging them. As much as I try and resist, I just can't. My cock starts to get hard and grow, making a very conspicuous dent in my boxes. And once again, you lean in and kiss me, this time on the lips. I turn away, but with your other hand, you roughly grab my chin and hold me. You're not going to make this easy on me. Well, I guess in all fairness, that's up to me, isn't it? I guess I'm not going to let you make it easy on me. My cock rock is incredibly hard now, and you reach down and pull my boxes down far enough so that it springs free into the cold air. You wrap your delicate fingers around it and start to work your hand up and down. In all the training I've received to deal with torture, both mental and physical, nothing ever covered this. I try to think of the most boring thing I can, but nothing's helping. My cock is throbbing. It's incredibly hard. And your lips feel so good on mine. I can't, I shouldn't get drawn into this. But I can't help it. I know that I'll probably be killed once you get the information you need from me. And that to survive, I have to resist. But my cock is so hard. Now you start to kiss down my neck, softly nibbling and biting. Oh, down my chest. Oh, God. Don't do what I think you're gonna do. Out of my cock. I try to think of ballistics tables, GPS coordinates, mission parameters, anything. But it's no use. Your tongue is stroking my cock. My hands are tied. Yep. They want to reach out. Ram your head down onto my cock. Oh, thrust it deep into your mouth. Oh. Up and down. contact with your pussy. Oh, you're wet. Oh, this gets you off, doesn't it? Oh, I'm sure you've done this before. Oh God. Oh. You sink down just so the head of my cock parts your pussy lips. But you don't go all the way. Oh, I've got to be inside you. Instead, you lift off me. Turning around, you lean down once more. Take that out of my cock in your mouth. Suck your pussy juices off my cock, coating your lips with them, and you come up, roughly grab my head, and press your lips against mine, letting me taste you on your lips. Oh. And then, your lips. To my ear. And with a voice so cold and calculated, so controlled, it makes me shiver. You growl. Tell me what you know about my boss. And I'll let you come anywhere you want to. Just at that thought. Oh, is it worth it? Oh, I'm dead anyway. What's the point? Oh, no way. Oh, I won't. In my out of breath and aroused state, I growl back. You've got to do better than that. I look into your eyes, and for the first time I see a smile. Oh, I'm not sure if it's exactly a smile, maybe more of a sadistic grin, but you just chuckle in a manner that makes my blood run cold and yet hot at the same time, and you laugh and say, oh, better ain't the best I can do. Oh, God, what have I got myself into? Once more. sink down onto me. I hear a voice in the door. It's a guard. We both turn and look at him. And addressing you, he says, "Hurry up, we're on a tight schedule here. The boss doesn't have all night." You tell him not to worry, and tell the boss he'll have everything he needs very soon. Oh. And with that, the man turns and walks away. Oh, I can't control myself anymore. I know why I've never heard any first accounts of this kind of torture. Because the agents were always broken. I could plan an escape. I could get out of here if only I could focus my mind, but I can't. All I can think of is the inside of your pussy. Oh, the hot, tight walls of your pussy squeezing my cock. Oh, I need it. I need you so bad. But all of a sudden, you lean down and whisper in my ear again. Oh, I'm almost afraid to hear the words that you'll utter. But you say, "Don't worry, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to get you out of here." Oh, what's this? Oh, my brain's so messed up, I don't even know if I've heard you right. You get up off me. Oh. And laughing at me, you say, "You didn't think I was going to kill you, did you? Not after all the fun we've had. I want to come into effect. I want to work for your government. And I'm going to get us both out of here. But I needed some leverage on you. I wanted to know if I could break you. And I know now I could have. Oh, why did you do this to me?" You reach down and squeeze my cock. "Oh, don't worry. Let's get out of there. I just wanted to have my fun." "Oh, you're cruel." "I know." You laugh. "Oh, I'm going to get you for this." You laugh at me. "I'm counting on it. I've done this to men before. But I want to know what it's like when a man does it to me. Oh, God, I will." My full senses returning. You're getting dressed now. I'm still completely naked. Oh. But once my instincts, my training is returning, I stand up, put my legs to the side of the chair. Stand up. Bringing the chair up between my legs. Place the legs on the table. And then manage to twist it up in front of me. And then smash it down on the table, smashing off the legs. Now I can get it down below me. And I reach down and bring a foot crashing down onto the side of the backrest, smashing it. My hands are free. I quickly and easily undo the knot you did around me, realizing now that it was never meant to hold me. I take it off. What about my clothes? Don't worry, follow me. Oh, God, but I'm naked. That's the least of your problems. Come on, let's go. You're a tort. You're now fully dressed. You toss me one of your knives. gun, fitting a silencer to it. And off we go. Mark Hawk still in a semi aroused state, bumping against my thigh. As we reach the corridor, glancing both ways, we spot a guy at the end. Wait here, you say. I hear you walk down the corridor, then I hear a muffled thud, and in a few minutes you return, dragging the guard behind you. He's still conscious. You've only knocked him out briefly. But quickly you and I strip his body of clothing, leaving him in just his underwear. I dress as the guard, putting his hat on, hopefully not to be recognized. You say, alright, we need a distraction, let's go. Not even knowing much of the layout of this building, I'm glad you're leading me. Taking the guard's weapon, and still slightly lightheaded and breathless from our encounter, we run down a corridor into a small room. Looking around, I realize this is the armory. Obviously, we want whoever's going to be chasing us not to be well armed. So, taking a couple of grenades from one of the boxes, you take the pins out, handing one to me, still holding onto the spoon tightly. I look at it quickly, recognizing it as a standard Russian-built timed hand grenade. We look at each other, nod. Tossing the grenade, I toss mine towards a box of ammunition. You toss yours towards another box of grenades, and we run down the corridor, mentally counting off the 10 seconds on the grenade timers. Running through a pair of heavy doors, we bolt them together and take cover. There's an almighty blast, followed by a series of other blasts, ricocheting ammunition down the stone corridors, and we run. We know by now that surely we've been tripped some alarms. Guards will be on our tail. But you lead me out through a maze of tunnels, and finally we emerge through what I assume is a secret exit out of manhole cover in a darkened street. I guess by the look of the countryside, it's sometime early in the morning. There's a faint glow on the horizon, possibly the dawn, or maybe a far-off city. But we run down a back alley. I'm still following you. And I see a car parked, and the lights flash as the wireless entry is activated. The lights come on, and I realize you did that. You must have been planning this. I'm very impressed. And as the lights come on, the headlights come on and illuminate the front of the car, I realize it's very rare and expensive. Dutch-built Spyker C8 aileron. I'm impressed you have taste in cars. We jump in, and you begin to drive incredibly well as we speed down the darkened alleys and out into the countryside. You hand me a radio. I know what I've got to do. I quickly tune to the frequency of my government, make the emergency distress call, and call out my call sign. The challenge comes back, and I authenticate correctly and get put through to a dispatch operator. I tell them the situation, tell them we need a safe house and immediate extraction back home. Instructions come through There's a safe house not far from here. It will be extracted in 4 hours. Arriving at the safe house, we hide the car, get inside, and head up to the designated room, locking the door behind us. For the first time, we can breathe easy. Somewhat anyway, knowing that for now we're safe. But now, looking at you, I realize I have unfinished business. Actually, we both do. I march across the room, grab you from behind, sweep you off your feet, spin around and toss you onto the bed. You let out a little giggle. It's the first remotely feminine noise I've heard you make tonight. And I jump onto the bed, straddling you, pressing you down, leaning down and whispering in your ear, "What are you laughing about? I'm going to get you back now." You just growl at me, and I pin your hands down with one hand. I reach down and unbutton your pants and pull them down, grabbing your pussy, feeling how wet it is. Oh, I run my fingers through your slit. Oh. Bring one finger to my mouth and suck it. Then I bring a finger to your lips and smear your juices all over them. Oh, yeah. Taste yourself. Oh, remember what you said. I could come anywhere I wanted. I'm going to. You arch your back slightly. I let go of your hands long enough to pull your hands down, but you take the opportunity and grab hold of me, twisting my arm behind my back and pushing me over onto the bed. So doing, I roll off and crash onto the floor. Then with my other hand, I reach up and grab you, pulling you down with me. I crash onto the floor. Now you're on top of me. Oh, come here. Oh, my cock's returned to its full hardness. Oh, I need to be inside you. I sit up, press you back against the wall. I undo the button on my pants with one hand, pressing you against the wall with the other, holding your hands above your head, using my legs to spread yours, your pussy spread wide, your pussy juices glistening in the soft light of the room. Oh. Once I've got my cock out of my underwear and pants pressed down, I lift you up, spread your legs some more, holding you now with one arm under your ass, squeezing it, the other arm holding your arms above you. I press you against the wall and place the head of my cock between your pussy lips. I thrust deep into you all the way. Oh god, you're just as tight as I remember. Oh fuck. Thrust back and forward. Your juice is leaking down onto my balls. Pressing you against the wall tightly now so you won't slide down any further. Oh, I bring my arms My hands to your head, pulling your head down, kissing your lips, tasting yourself, tasting your juices on your lips. Pressing my cock deep into you. We both sort of collapse sideways onto the floor. You're still pressed up against the wall. Your thighs are parted. One leg is draped over me. I start to thrust in and out. In and out. I'm losing control. Your pussy starting to spasm and clamp down on my cock. Oh god, that's it. You're gonna send me over the edge. I'm gonna come deep inside you. Come with me. Come on, my cock and my balls. Come on. Oh god. I'm coming deep in your tight pussy. You really enjoyed that. Debbie, I hope you like that too. I hope that captured your idea for our sequel. Everyone, know if there's any other stories you think I should do a sequel to, or any other ideas, do feel free to share them with me. I just remembered. I believe it was Thanksgiving this past week in the US, so to all you who celebrated Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you all had a great time, whatever you're up to. I had a bit of a family gathering myself on the weekend, which was a lot of fun. Anyway, I should be off. Wow, this is quite a long recording, isn't it? I just looked at the time. Well, I hope you've all enjoyed it. And for those of you who I haven't recorded for yet, I apologize. I'll get to it. I really, really will. Please take care all, and I will be recording again very soon.